Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Pulse, where we talk to digital health experts, leaders, and entrepreneurs from all over the world. I'm really excited to get this conversation started with our guest today. But just before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to our YouTube channel and like and follow our LinkedIn page. So I'm your host, Dr. Maida Afan, and today we have with us Innocent Clement, CEO and founder of Seba Health, a digital therapeutic and virtual care company focused on chronic disease reversal. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for your time and thanks for the invite. I am really excited to be here to share some insights and learnings from, my journey as an entrepreneur in the digital healthcare space.
Absolutely. And did I pronounce that right? Is it pronounced Siba?
Yeah, Siva, yes, Siva Health,
Okay.
yes.
All right. And I know that you're a physician, you're an entrepreneur and an innovator. And, as a clinician turned entrepreneur myself, I'm intrigued by clinicians, other fellow clinicians who jump into the entrepreneurship. And so please tell me a little bit about your background. Do you still practice as a physician? How did you sort of transition into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great question. So, I mean, again, thank you so much again for, the time to connect with me and then really to talk about some of this insight, right? So, like you said, I mean, I'm a physician, trained physician here. And then, so mostly for me, the way I look at it, right? I mean, how I also got into entrepreneurship is probably sometimes I call it, I got in by accident, right? So, after my medical residency training, decided to go to grad school. And then after grad school, I decided to take a different route, work for a consultant firm, one of the top three consultant firm. And then shortly after that, I decided that, you know what, it's not for me. I'm going to look at something completely different, something that would really, see how I can really provide some impact. Suddenly, my work as a consultant, then I learned a lot. Again, suddenly I leveraged that, that journey. I leveraged a lot of the learnings from there, the experience, the network, really to get me to where I am today. So shortly after I left, I decided to partner with my friends and partners. We started a company called Kaya Health. Kaya is Kaia. It's in the digital therapeutic space for musculoskeletal, for those who have chronic lower back pain, joint pain, neck pain. So it was a journey that I started in 2015, and I left them shortly after in 2019 to start something different, right? So, I mean, for me, it was a journey that I learned a lot, and really it opened my eyes to some of the challenges that we have in the healthcare space today. And that was the reason why Siva got started.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, I was going through your LinkedIn profile and I saw that you started work, or maybe Seba was founded in 2019. I think that is, the pandemic actually had a big role to play in it as well, where a lot of clinicians, realized they had sort of their light bulb moment and they realized, I could be doing something else. I could be using my clinical knowledge in other ways to support the evolving healthcare landscape in terms of innovation, in terms of, health tech tools to support patients. And so I'm wondering, was Seba also a byproduct of the pandemic in terms of the opportunity that it presented itself with?
Well, I mean, so I would say this is how I would answer this, right? So for me, you remember I told you that I was already in the space before, right? I started a company and then I had an exit in 2019, right? So I've learned a lot. I've seen a lot, both from a patient side and from provider side. I understood a lot of pain points, right? From patients who are dealing with chronic disease condition, from providers who are managing patients with chronic disease condition as well. So for me, Siba Health started in 2019, like you said, right? And went live in 2020, in June of 2020. So I mean, I think the pandemic actually helped to accelerate that, right? I mean, but suddenly it was something that I was already thinking about because, given the provider, I've seen firsthand the patients, experience with who are dealing with chronic disease condition today, how they are being managed and treated. There's a lot of frustration. It's a huge pain point. And I, again, looking at it from the patient side as well as the provider side, I felt that yes, we have to do something different, because mostly patients with chronic disease condition today, they're looking for something completely different. They're tired of the traditional approach or the standard of care today. There's a lot of frustration. There's the issue with access. There's also issue with, it's a band-aid approach where it's all about medication. Patient wants to look for something different. Patient wants something personalized. Patient wants something that would really it will help them to build trust, build relationship between providers and patients. Right now, if you look at the current landscape today, the healthcare space today, there's no longer a patient-doctor relationship, right? It becomes so very, very transactional. So, you know, as a provider, I have the first-hand experience. I've seen this, and I see a lot of frustration, not just from the patient, but from the provider as well. So because of all that, I was able to say, you know what, let's start something that will begin to address some of this pain point. And then really, we started with talking to patients, try to understand more. We do what we call customer discovery interview to try to get a sense of really what are truly the pain points. What's that hair on fire problem? What's keeping them up at night, right? So with all that, we're able to now build a solution that will begin to address that, right? As well as if you look at our business model today, we're also looking at, you know, B2B, which is a self-funded employer as well as the payer today. So also understanding what are their pain points, you know, from cost, from employee productivity, and then access, right? So these are the things that we took into consideration before we started Siva.
Well, excellent. No, I think you touched upon some really, really important points. You've actually answered a lot of my questions that I had coming on. But, you know, something that I want to touch upon is when you said that you being a clinician, I think one of your USPs would be that you understand the patient-provider journey and you understand not only the patient psychology, but also the provider psychology. And that's something that I talk about all the time. And a lot of leaders are now talking about in health tech is clinician-guided processes and clinician-guided how they should be at the forefront and leading such initiatives. This is actually how, you know, Zeven Health was founded as well, because me and my fellow colleague clinicians, we saw this gap in the market, whether it was in the product design and development, whether it was in communication. So, you know, you hit the nail on the head right there. And now when you talked about personalized care, so that's also something that a lot of people are talking about. And more experts are really coming to realize that individualized care or personalized care or value-based care is really one of the key factors to, you know, increase digital adoption, usage. And so, but in the context of chronic disease, I really, you know, that would really mean zoning into the symptom profile, disease progression, monitoring at an individual level, right? And so digital therapeutics is actually can play a vital role there and can be a very important resource for patients dealing with such conditions. And so at SIBA, you know, even by collecting data points and then basing recommendations off of that. So at SIBA, I wanted to know, how is SIBA Health providing personalized care?
This is also a very good question, right? I mean, again, you just said it all, right? As a physician, you know, you've seen firsthand, you know, how things are with the patient, you know, how frustrated everything is out with the patient, right? So, and, you know, it goes back to when we talk about the how, you know, patient, you know, are they happy with the current care today? Certainly they're not, right? I mean, a patient will come to the hospital today with a headache. The first thing they do, they put the patient on Tylenol. The patient takes the Tylenol. What does that do? Suppress the symptom of the headache, ignoring that this headache is coming from somewhere, right? So why don't we try to see if we can dig in to understand why is the headache in there in the first place, right? So this is what we do at SIBA. So for us, it's certainly when we look at patients, no one patient is the same, right? So we believe every patient is unique, and then really we treat them as such. So once you come in into the SIBA platform today, the first thing you do, we're going to ask you to complete a bunch of comprehensive questionnaire. I mean, it's a very in-depth questionnaire that's going to take you probably an hour. But the most important thing is we ensure that the user experience, you know, with completing those questionnaire, it's really easy for you to really complete those questionnaire so that we can get a lot of information, a lot of data about you to understand, you know, what's going on. We'll look at your medical history, family history, medication history, environmental exposure, nutritional history, and all of that. Once that is done completed, the next step is that you now connect with the health coach. The health coach will now look at all the questions that you completed and then, you know, have a, you know, a review with you to ensure that it's completed, you know, accurately, right? And the next step is we send them devices. So we'll call it's a kit, you know, in a box. So again, it depends on what the patient needs are, right? And we'll send them those devices to the patient. Those devices is what we use to really stay in touch with the patient, that we use to also help to drive engagement, that we use also to empower the patient, and as well as, you know, to be able to connect with this patient proactively. So some of the devices that we send to this patient are the Oura Ring tracks for your heart rate variability, it tracks for rest and heart rate, your sleep, and all of that. We send them the Weeding Scale. The Weeding Scale tracks for their BMI, their weight, and all of that, right? And then we also send them what we call the blood pressure monitoring cuff. That also tracks for their blood pressure, the systolic and the diastolic pressure. We also send them for mostly with the diabetic patient, we send them what we call a freestyle Libre. The freestyle Libre, it tracks for their continuous blood glucose. So the reason why we do all that is really so that we can really stay in touch with the patient, connect with the patient to ensure that we are proactively providing this patient with, what they truly need, right? And so, and then after all that device is sent to the patient, we integrate that into what we call our remote patient monitoring capability. That allows the integration, that allows the providers to be able to see real time, what's going on with the patient. It also allows the patient to be able to track, their journey from when they started, where they are today. If there are any challenges, they're also able to connect with either health coach or the providers. Although the providers also get notification, it is a data that is trending in a direction that it shouldn't be trending, right? So our goal is to suddenly on see how we can empower patients to really be part of the healthcare journey. And then when it comes to the personalization, we dig deeper, right, with the questionnaire that we collect, and then we really use that to probably order what we call the advanced lab. So this advanced lab is very, very detailed, very advanced. It takes into account your biomarkers, it takes into account the microbiome, look at environmental exposure, micronutrients. So we collect all that to ensure that we're not missing anything, because again, a lot of chronic disease conditions today can be related to inflammation, can be related to stress, can be related to your exposure to environmental factors that toxins and all of that. So we want to ensure that we know what's going on, get into the root causes to identify where this is coming from, and be able to put together an intervention that can support the patient, as well as supporting this patient to really be part of the journey, to empower them to be able to make decisions as well.
No, I think, wow, you've touched on so many points. I think patient engagement is such an important point right now. It comes up in a lot of my conversation spaces because I'm from communications, health communication. I think it's so important for the patient. The only way a patient can feel more confident and trust you is when they make a shared decision, with their clinician. So I think it's great, and I think it's not only, so it goes beyond actually remote patient care, right? You're using AI point of care. You're really, but in terms of, I know, I mean, considering the trend, there's been such a rise or a boom in health and wellness apps, and there are all these different health tech tools. But studies still show that the number of app downloads and the customer retention rate is still remains suboptimal, right? And there may be like a number of reasons contributing to that. So that it might be, maybe it's poorly designed, maybe it's not as user intuitive, or maybe they just didn't have a good enough understanding of the end user, whether that was the internal end user, which is a provider, or an external, which is a patient. And so I wanted to, because you're sending out these kits, I wanted to know, what has your customer feedback been like? How have they received, how perceptive or how receptive have they been to this engagement model?
Yeah, I mean, this is also a very good question. So, I mean, what we've seen from our patient today, obviously, a lot of them see this as something completely different. Obviously, they understand what we're doing because it's very disruptive. A lot of our patients today, most of the patients are patients that are already frustrated with the current, standard of care. They are always on the internet looking for something different, right? So most of them is word of mouth. We don't do much of a marketing, word of mouth, either referral from our providers and all of that, right? So the patients, what we do really that really drive a lot of that engagement that also allow for to build that trust with the patient is every interaction with our providers and our patient, you have a minimum of at least 60 minutes, with a provider. So the provider is going to listen to you. Would understand where you're coming from, would understand, what sort of challenges, what are your pain points, how can they better support you? Because if you look at the healthcare model today we have, it's very transactional. Patients don't really feel like anyone's even listening to them at all, right? So we decided to build a solution that is patient-centric, a solution that is personalized. We're building trust between patient and providers. And, I understand technology is really, really driving a lot of the innovation in this space today, but technology alone would not really do it, right? So this has to be that human connection, right? That's why we have a multidisciplinary approach to, how we look at managing our patients, the doctors, the dietitian, the health coaches, as well as the technology, which is, we use, technology as well to help the providers to improve their efficiency, help the provider to provide data in a structured way, as well as really helping the provider to be very proactive, right? So the RPM would allow them to proactively connect with the patient. They get a notification if something is wrong with the patient or the data. They're able to now pick up the phone and say, hey, we notice your data is trending in this direction. What have you done differently, right? And they try to, you know, build that relationship because the patient feel like, yes, this person truly care about me. You give the patient the tools to really be part of the process. You empower them. The patient understand that this is for me. Unlike, you know, the other traditional approach to this healthcare today, where patients just go in, you have to go take Tylenol, go home, and that's it, right? But for us, there's that proactiveness. We see it, we connect with the patient. The patient see it from the dashboard, they connect with our providers as well. So that's how we're able to drive engagement. That's how we're able to rebuild confidence, because the patient, they love it. I mean, if you go on our website today, you see testimonial patient, it's incredible. It's incredible. I will give you one good example today. We had a patient that was looking at his sleep data on the Oura Ring, right? So the heart rate variability, the numbers were trending, you know, it was completely out of whack. The patient was wondering what's going on with the data, you know. So for us, we saw that, right? And then we connect with the patient. We said, you know what, we notice your data is trending in the direction that it should be trending. What's going on? What have you done differently, right? The patient said, oh, I noticed it too, but I thought maybe the device is malfunctioning, right? It's not. And then we suggested that the patient should probably go to the ER, that's, I mean, the emergency room, so that they can check and see there's certainly something going on, because, you know, your heart rate, it's, you know, obviously the numbers, it's clear that something's happening. But the patient was, you know, physically, he felt he was okay. There was nothing, right? And then this patient decided to go to the emergency room. You know what happened? This patient was taken into the operating room immediately. Yes. So we saved that patient, right? I mean, you can imagine what would have happened, right? So this is why you see the devices are making a lot of really helping these patients, helping the providers, right? So we saw it. We connected with the patient quickly. We said, some of the data does not make any sense. Something is going on. You need to go to the emergency room so that someone can check and see what's going on, right? Because the patient, it's not in front of us. But we saw that. And because of that, the patient quickly went to the OR. And then immediately got there, they took him to the OR operating room immediately. Yeah. So we saved that patient life. So a lot of that's what suddenly why the patients are really engaged with SIBA, because they see the value we're creating. We give them the tools that they can really make decisions for themselves, right? So that patient as well, you know, if someone else is seeing that number, they will certainly want to go to the hospital. So they don't even need to wait for anyone, right? So that on itself is so powerful. It allowed them to be really be part of the process. It allowed them to know that someone is there for them. It allows them to feel like, you know, they can trust someone. So you got to build trust. You got to build that relationship. You got to empower them. You got to make them feel that, you know, you're treating them, because no one symptom is the same. It's truly personalized for every patient.
Well, no, such a powerful use case. I think there's just, it touched on so many important digital touch points, right? So there was ongoing engagement, there was real time data, and then there was timely intervention, which essentially saved his life. So I think that you covered, everything. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And, but you know, one of the things that really struck me about when I was reading about SIBA, it was that we talk about chronic disease management and chronic disease monitoring, but it was actually the reversal part that caught my eye as a clinician, because even in our space, I'm sure that you would agree, once a person has been diagnosed with a certain chronic disease, I mean, they think it's just medication for life, whereas we know that it can actually be reversed with, you know, lifestyle modifications and modifiable behavior and ongoing coaching and whatnot. So that is something that really, I think it was brilliant. But when we talk about chronic disease, again, there's a long list, right? So you have your diabetes, you have cardiovascular disease, you have hypertension, and then you have some of your more serious illnesses like terminal illness. And so I'm wondering, at SIBA Health, do you cater to a specific chronic illness profile, or is there a specific age group you cater to?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's a very good question too. So for us, really, at SIBA, is certainly to provide healthcare for people, what healthcare should truly be, right? So obviously, if you look at our client today, our client base, we go directly to self-funded employer that provide this as an additional benefit for the employee. We go to payer that provide this to their members, right? So when we look at chronic disease condition today, first for us is, okay, what are the current business conditions? What are the top cost drivers today, right? For either employer or even individuals or even the health insurance today. Most of them are, number one, it could be musculoskeletal condition, type 2 diabetes, depression and anxiety, digestive disorder. These are top cost driver that it's like one of the, the cost drivers for employer, for payers today, even individual. So what we did is, our goal is to address the entire population, right? So we want to ensure that we're providing this sort of solution that is able to reverse the condition, that's very holistic, that's a whole body 360 degree approach, right? So when you look at chronic disease condition today, the body itself is connected, right? A lot of times people think, oh, it's headache. No, because it starts from somewhere. So what we're looking at is to ensure that we're providing that holistic sort of approach. We're not, we're looking at it, someone comes in with a, let's say, with a type 2 diabetes today, there's a high likelihood that patient will also have probably, we'll call, maybe has some depression and anxiety there, right? The patient might have some sort of maybe blood pressure issue there as well. Maybe the patient will be hypertensive. So, so with the way we build SIBA, we build condition-based programs. We also build a program that is also targeting those who are interested in prevention, targeting those who are also high risk of developing some of those conditions based on what we're seeing from the data, claims data, or medical records. We're going to provide that program for them. And then those who already have the condition of interest, we'll put them into the condition-based program. So today, SIBA has what we call the type 2 diabetes, the pre-diabetic, and then we have the digestive health, and then depression and anxiety. So our goal is targeting top cost driver, while we also provide for those who are also interested in prevention, for those who are already at high risk of developing some of those chronic conditions. Why are we targeting this for now? Is because what we've seen in the space, based on what I've learned while I was still working, I was at Kaya Health, I noticed that there are top cost drivers for employer today that is driving cost. Most of those that I've listed today are the top three cost drivers for most employer and payer today. So our goal is to build a company that it's not a point solution, but a company that will provide multiple products that would address some of those concerns. And that's why we started with what we started today, the advanced primary care model that is targeted towards those who are interested in prevention, those who are high risk. And then for those who already have the conditions of interest, like the type 2 diabetes, digestive health, depression and anxiety, using our approach to really uncovering the root causes and reverse the conditions.
Oh, well, excellent. Again, so you're not only dealing with precision, but prevention as well. Amazing.
Yeah.
The LinkedIn post that I came across of yours, and then I messaged you and you graciously accepted the invitation, was actually, I saw that you had partnered with a company in the UAE and you're sort of penetrated that market. And I've lived in the UAE for a couple of years. And so I know that, it's ripe with opportunity, especially the health tech market. And so you being, you're based in the US, right? In New
yes,
York.
Yes, we're in New York. Yes.
And so, how did you penetrate the MENA region or the Middle East market? And I'm asking this again for a lot of our target audience. Most of them are health tech entrepreneurs and they're very interested in this space. So if you don't mind me asking.
Absolutely. So for me, from day one, when we started SIBA Health, right, our goal is to build a global company and a global organization that would address, some of those conditions, right? Some of this issue that we see in the healthcare space today. It's not US alone. I mean, you can go to Europe. There's a lot of issue with, chronic disease conditions. If you go to Asia, it's the same thing, right? So SIBA is also in China today. So we're in China as a joint venture in 2021. So we also have, an establishment in China. And then what will happen was we're using China as a global blueprint, to study, to understand some of the challenges, because China is one of the most difficult markets today. And then we're able to get into China, set up there. We have patients in China today. And so with the UAE, I was invited to a conference where I was invited to speak on digital therapeutics and as well as digital healthcare. So when I went to the region and then I spoke at a conference, a lot of people saw, heard what I said. So what we're doing, and then they decided to engage. So a lot of the stakeholders who were there, shortly after my presentation, they connected with me and say, let's have a chat. Have you thought about coming to this region? I said, really, it's something that I've been thinking about. But, again, I understand that there are a lot of challenges, when you're going to a region that you don't have, a lot of understanding in terms of, the regulatory landscape, in terms of what's required for you to actually set up there. But luckily for me, some of those stakeholders that I connected with, are people who are actually stakeholders in the space who are also looking at innovation, who are looking to see how they can bring some sort of solution that will begin to address, you know, the challenges that they are facing within the region, right? If you look at type 2 diabetes, the UAE, 1 out of 4 has type 2 diabetes. You know, is it mental health issues? These are all problems that really...
And it also has an aging population, you know, more than
exactly,
half the population.
Absolutely,
is
absolutely. Yeah. And then they are always looking for, I mean, they're very, very, we'll call innovative, you know, because they have the money. They also love innovation. They're looking for a way to support, you know, innovative solutions into the region, either through the Abu Dhabi Investment Office or through some other way that they can support you, right? So, and then I began to have the conversation in March this year. And then I went back there for at least for 6 weeks. We're able to really, with the folks that I met there, they were very, very helpful. They were able to help me to navigate, you know, what I need, how I can get settled, you know, be able to incorporate in the region. So within a few months, we're able to get our license to operate in the region. We're able to identify partners that can help us to really continue to, you know, how we can navigate the space. And that's how we all started. And today, CIBA is officially a subsidiary of the CIBA US in Abu Dhabi that's owned 100% by the CIBA US. Because what they did in the region is they provide us incentives. You know, they build what we call the offshore sort of is a market. I don't know if I should call it a market, but they build that. There's onshore, there's offshore. And what happened is the legal whatever there in this offshore is the British law that they use there, right? And, you know, there's no requirement that you would need to give up 50% of whatever to maybe someone who is from the region or a citizen of the country. Now, what they did is, if you establish, you own it 100%. They're also going to support you, provided incentives to really begin to scale and build your business there, right? So we're currently working with our Abu Dhabi Investment Office that are also looking to provide us with some incentives that will support our operation in the region. You know, you saw Plug and Play that also in the region there. They've been very, very helpful in terms of how we can navigate the space, how to identify the stakeholders, the Abu Dhabi Global Market, which is the agency that incorporates some of those organizations that is coming into that region. They are also very, very helpful. They allow us to really leverage some of their network, be able to really set up in the region successfully.
Well, you know, we're almost at time. And just to wrap up, a final question is, where do you see healthcare in 10 years?
This is also very important. I think healthcare, certainly you can see how fast it's moving. Technology is going to play a huge, huge role in healthcare. Healthcare would really, in 10 years, I think, you know, our goal is always to see to provide, you know, healthcare that is accessible, healthcare that it's cheaper, healthcare that it's comprehensive, healthcare that patient will trust. And I think, you know, we as a human, we need to begin to think about how can we really do that? How we can leverage technology to provide this sort of healthcare that we have today, provide the access, right? Make healthcare cheaper. You know, anybody, anywhere should be able to access healthcare, irrespective of what. I think technology is going to play a huge role in that. But I also believe strongly that human was to play a huge component in that, right? So there's a lot happening in the space today, and it's moving very fast. And I think a lot of people now begin to understand, you know, the value of, you know, innovation and the value what that would do for our patients, even for our providers, right? So suddenly, I think, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I think healthcare, suddenly 10 years from now, healthcare will probably be available in rural India, available in rural China, available in rural Nigeria. And then again, it's all about access. It's also all about data sharing, right? It's all about what we'll call empowering the patient to make decisions.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. I wish, you know, I hope we can do this again on another topic.
Absolutely. I mean, you can see, right? I mean, you can see the passion, right? For me, so, I mean, this is what I love to do, and this is why I'm doing what I'm doing today. Because again, the goal is to really ensure that, you know, when we talk about health equity, when we talk about access, you know, when we talk about really personalization, when we talk about what healthcare should truly be, you know, certainly it's what really, really, you know, keeps me up at night. Because again, my goal is to see patients living testimonials and talking about their experience today, how they enjoy what we're doing today. I can't do it all by myself, right? So every other person, all hands has to be on the deck to kind of to drive this, you know, the conversation, to kind of to push for the change we want to see in the healthcare space. And I would always, always be happy to connect and chat in other topics. But again, thanks again for your time, and thanks again for connecting with me on a Sunday.
Well, you're doing amazing things. Continue to do what you're doing, and all the best with all SIBA endeavors.
Thank you so much.
And for everyone listening, until next time, bye-bye.
All right.